We're going to be looking again on page 320, if you have your study guide, the booklet that we're going through together. And then whether you do or not, turn to the New Testament book of James as we continue working through all 66 books of Scripture. A general overview, general content, keeping it in context. And we are in the book of James. Remember that James is much more like a sermon than it is a letter. And so in the book, you find a lot of different topics. And where we left off last week, at the top of page 320, we'll jump back into that really, really quickly and look at some of the practical things that James points out in this letter. So in chapter 1, again, look at verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy. We spread it all out when it's emphasized like that. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and he goes on from that. Now let me ask you, since last Wednesday, it's been a week. So has anybody put verse 2 into practice where you were just so stinking joyful in trial you couldn't help it?
Every day.
And then he turns to the Ten Commandments. Well, shut up, Oh my goodness. So, I don't know. I said it last week, but I think we all struggle with that, and yet it's a really significant portion of what James talks about in this little letter. So, feeding off of that, as he talks about the trials and difficulties, then you get down to verse 12, and he kind of picks up with that same idea again. It's a little bit like a sermon. You know where sometimes the pastor, it looks like it's headed for the runway, and the landing gear is down, but he makes one more turn and kind of comes back. And it's like James kind of does that here. So he starts off with the trials, verses 2 and 3, and some of the benefits of that in the following verses. He speaks then in some intervening verses regarding wisdom and seeking God for wisdom, riches, and those who do not have as much. And he talks about that more. And then he comes back to trials in verse 12. And so let's look at that. And he says here, to follow up what he started with, blessed is a man, a person who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And I think we saw this, I don't know if it was last week or maybe a different context I was teaching recently, but after that, then he speaking about that word for trial and temptation, let no one say when he is tempted that I'm being tempted by God. For God can't do that. He doesn't tempt by evil. He himself does not tempt anyone. But actually what happens, I think Larry said this last week, each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then he gives a little bit of a sermonette about lust and how it leads to sin and leads to death and all that. So for the second little principle here with thinking about suffering from verse 12, James gives us a very simple statement and basically says that you're blessed when you persevere under trial. So I hope that's encouraging, that when you're going through a difficult time, just keep going. See, if you're going through a difficult time and stop, then you get trapped there. Going through a difficult time, notice the verb going, or you just keep on going then. Okay, and here's what God says for James. There's a blessing from God when we keep on going. Okay, we persevere. So I think he, to me, adds a little bit of a, I think Cassandra said the word earlier, but kind of a little bit of a cherry on top with the trials and reminding us of God's goodness as we persevere through those. Okay? So anything about that you want to add to, ask about, share about before we jump to another principle, Larry?
I told Luis today, I said, what we went through the last 4 weeks was worth it. And I can't begin to tell you what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Let's thank God we made.
Yeah. There's something about the blessing of persevering.
See her walking with hardly any pain. I want to shout. Amen. Let me tell you.
Anything else from a little bit James says there that you want to throw out there for a comment or question or quick testimony?
I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, our car...
Oh.
And, you know, when the bad, the car won't start, and got somewhere to be, got a meeting, and people are counting on me to be there, and kids are all dressed, and they're excited to go see their friends, and I was like, just kind of, like, not panicking, but just looking for solution, looking for resolution, you know, in all these different places, and it took us I was 2 hours late to this meeting, and I told my kids, there's an old song, you know, Count Your Blessings, right, the hymn, named them one by one, and I said, there's always something that we can be thankful for. There's always something that we can praise God for. And sometimes I'm so overwhelmed that the only thing I can think of really is my salvation. Like bare bones. You know, that, like, even if I die, I still win. You know, I still win because Jesus, you know. And through that, the car, we just had this, like, 2 weeks of crazy car situations, but in that, my sons learned how to be, they're fluent now in how to jump a vehicle. My 5-year-old Anna is fluent in how to pop a trunk or pop a hood. You know, and I just really enjoy being able to teach my kids that. And we spent Saturday afternoon underneath the car, and the kids were, you know, Ben's in his diaper, his wrench underneath the car, and mom and dad were telling Liz, it was almost like a day date. It was so cute and fun, and we were accomplishing something together, unique, and kind of outside of the normal, you know, and the kids are getting to see their dad and mom work together, doing this very greasy, very dirty thing, and it was such an incredible blessing for me to see that. You know, and if that had never happened, I never would have been put in the position to teach my kids those things, you know. And so I still maintain that there's always something that we can praise God for.
Whether it's you know, kind of a larger, bigger deal, significant thing, or even like some of the smaller things that are frustrating in life, there's still some kind of blessing there.
Yeah, you know? And that is really such a great song and a great song.
For sure. So that's one of the topics that James talks about. You can look into that more. The second one that's pointed out for our study is found, they mark it in verse 22 and 23. And so let's look at those, and this is going to refer more to Scripture and whether or not we are obeying Scripture. So in verse 22, as James is jumping between some different topics, as if he's given more of a sermon, he says to his readers, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Once he's looked at himself, he goes away, immediately forgets what kind of person he was." Just using kind of an illustration for his day. So very simple principle here, and I don't know how else to say it, but what James, the preacher and brother of Jesus, says is don't just read your Bible, do your Bible. I mean, can I say it that way? Like, don't just be those who read it, be those who do. And so years ago, when I had opportunity, whether it was somebody being baptized or just a new believer that wanted a Bible or needed a Bible, I would take in the inside cover and I would write in the inside cover of their Bible, James 1:22. Like, just a reminder, as you take this Bible, don't just read it, but do it. Okay, let's call it obedience. So just another little principle that James gives regarding Scripture. Now, jump ahead here. This is going to take us to chapter 5. We're going to come back and hit some other really big deal topics after we get done with this section. But another point that is brought out by the author of this study in chapter 5, verse 7, and you're not going to like this either. You know, we don't like trials. We also don't like being patient. Well, here's what he says in chapter 5, verse 7. So to his readers, as believers, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." And then he gives an illustration. The farmer has to wait for the produce of the soil. He's got to be patient about it until it gets to early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So the idea here with this principle coming from James's sermon is the idea of patience. Okay, now remember, if he starts off talking about trials and we're talking about persevering, what's going to help you deal with that as far as persevering is maintaining that patience of trust that God is sovereign. He does know what's going on. And he has, remember, he has a blessing for those who persevere. So while it looks like James is scattered a bit, I think he's really making more connections than we are aware of. So this is the, what about the fourth, one, two, the fourth point that the author in the study points out with patience. And notice that, you know, it's kind of taking you to the book of Revelation to patience until Jesus comes back. So if I'm understanding that right, I don't think you ever get to a place where you can say, well, I'll be patient until I'm 55 and then I can just go off and let y'all have it. I'll be patient until I'm 65. Whatever. See, no. The deadline, the end line for being patient is until Jesus returns. Because that's when he rights all the wrongs. Not easy, right? It's a sermon, right? It's supposed to be applicational, convictional for us. So that's a fourth point. Now, let me stop there before we look at these next two little discussion questions. Anything over those last couple that you want to bring up for a question? Something you've experienced? Something to help iron sharpen iron tonight in particular?
Well, I know with, and I've shared it several times, I know with Paul and I, we always pray about anything. Whatever we do, we pray about it. And I know we were praying for a new home. It's power in prayer, never give up. For 25 years, we prayed for it. We looked at several, and each time the door was shut.
Yeah.
And we're like, why, Lord? And then this last home we got, I always wanted an old farmhouse, and he wanted land. And when that one became available, again we prayed about it, and Paul's like, I don't know. We thought the door was shut, and it would open up again. And he's like, I don't know. And the door would open up again. And I told him, I said, Paul, we've been praying for this house, a house, new one, for 25 years. I said, I think God is saying, what do I have to do to get your butt through to work? But, you know, it just goes to show the other homes that we went to and prayed about, and it did not happen. Something else came up where we were not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all in God's time,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And Paul, in that process, learned that the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like his wife.
Who's speaking now?
And that's why, to this day, Paul's motto in life is, yes, dear. I've heard him say that. I love the testimony. And even just like, you know, not super, super big time spiritual things per se, but, you know, just everything in life. Anybody else pray for something 25 years and, you know, just... So let me do this really quick to finish this section. So James, as well as Hebrews and Peter and 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, they are writing in the concepts of persecution. Okay, so when James writes, be patient until Jesus comes back, it's because of persecution. When he writes, endure trials and rejoice in trials, it's because of the context of persecution. When he writes, don't just read your Bible, but do your Bible, it's in the context of persecution. So here's a question that the author of this study points out for us. Just quickly, we can talk about this as we finish up. What are some ways that you've seen, or maybe you've experienced, or you've read about, that Christians are persecuted today? Now, I'll throw out the big ones right from the start. Okay, we all think persecution equals martyrdom. And there's places where that happens. Like, honestly, in places like Chad, some of those countries that are dominated by Islam, it's very dangerous to carry a Bible, be a Christian, things like that.
So there are places where there are folks who literally with persecution lose their lives. John, in the book of Revelation, okay, why is he on the island of Patmos? Persecution, right? He's holding fast to his faith, to the testimony of God's truth. And if they're like, all right, we're going to cast you over there where you can't make a difference anymore. Having no way of knowing it's there, God would give John all these visions that we have in this book called, it's like, wow, you just can't outsmart God, can you? No, you can't. So we know martyrdom, but I want you to think about it more like for us today, because if we equate persecution to martyrdom, then we say, well, there's really no persecution to that. But that's not true. So just quit. What would we put in these blanks? Ways today that Christians are persecuted, and like write down martyr, I mean, that happens for sure all over the world. But give me some other ways that you can think of, like, you know, just because I'm a Christian, this happened.
Islam, they can talk about Buddhism, they can talk about all these other religions, and everybody's real open-minded about it. But as soon as you mention Christianity, automatically, boom, oh gosh,
uh-huh.
Oh, they're still, here comes the crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
They can take a little Christian.
Like extreme fundamentalists just because Christian. Okay, so could we say maybe like, I'm going to say like kind of a ridicule or unfair treatment just because, you know, we're like claiming to be.
It could lead to worse.
Yeah, okay.
Workplace.
Yes.
You know, trying
to okay.
Job. Everybody's against you.
Okay. Now, think about it with that. There are places, in fact, I know Evan Stewart here at church had shared some of this, but there are places where you can work and you can be a very faithful, committed worker just because. You don't cuss like the others, or just because you try to, you know, you try to be a little more moral than the others, and just because you talk about church some, and like you actually have a Bible on your desk, time for promotion comes. Well, we're not giving it to you. Why? Because you're too Christian. See, we don't consider it persecution per se, but that, I mean, that's really. You know, that's the unfair treatment toward a person just because of, you know, biblical faith in the workplace.
We worked for the federal government, especially in my early career. You couldn't have anything on your desk that was Christian. You could Christmas cards.
Yeah, they couldn't had Christmas cards, and they made her kick them home.
Wow.
You couldn't have anything until 9/11. Then when 9/11 hit, you could have prayer groups.
Oh.
You could. Then it changed.
Things were burning down.
Yeah. You know what I tell people that September 11 was a spiritual hiccup.
Yeah.
And everybody all of a sudden,
yeah.
American flags, go to prayer services.
We
got over the hiccup, and within a couple of weeks, we're right back where we were for the most part.
It's sad. This started some time ago. I was still working in the 90s, and I'd listen to these religious programs on radio in my room. They would come and tell me, you can't do that. I said, you ain't got no business telling me what I can and I can't do it. And I'm the only one in the room. I leave now.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy at Chick-fil-A today. I don't know if y'all know this. There's no, they might be Christian music playing low in the background. No singing. No nothing. So I asked him about it. Because Cooker is still playing gospel music.
Huh.
So I asked him. I said, what is the deal? He said, 4 years ago, we can play instrumental and some other light music.
Yeah.
But it has to come off like XM channel they choose for you. I said, I didn't notice to not hear. I said, what is going on? There's no singing no more. And then I kept noticing it. So I asked him, and that's what he told me. It's been 4 years. I said, well, I slipped up for about two or three then. You know, you didn't hear it. But now it's not even always Christian playing.
Because the mother and father passed away. Their brother and sister.
That's what he said.
They changed,
they did.
So they become
the younger gentleman. But he said they did make a promise. They will not open up on Sunday.
But
it shows you how the
families.
Social pressure is on businesses. If you do that, you could offend somebody.
So you see, I mean, what I'm saying is it doesn't have to mean that persecution equals martyrdom, right? Is it 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? It doesn't mean you're going to like die for your faith, but you're going to suffer some consequences if you stand firm for truth.
mockery. Sometimes it's as simple as mocking. I'll tell you, I feel for our kids and teenagers in the public school system.
Oh, my mercy.
Because it's a whole different environment there. And you think about pressure being hard for like adults sometimes, wanting to fit in and all that. But man, for kids, you've been there, right? You did some things when you were little that now you look back and say, that was so immature. But it was like pressure, right? And it's hard. It's really hard. But your kids, your grandkids, little ones like that in different contexts. So, you know, the persecution thing doesn't have to be thinking about the martyrs out there in, you know, some far-off place. It's just when you are living right, you're oftentimes going to catch some kind of flack just because of that. So in that, now,
apply it now with what James says, and that's the second question. If you look at some ways that Christians are like persecuted, ridiculed, mocked, whatever the case may be, then what advice is James given? And I wrote down two things. Number one, consider it joy. You know, wear it like a badge. Wear it like a little bit of a trophy. Like, I got persecuted today because I took a stand for Christ. So consider it joy. And then remember that God says if you persevere, there's blessing there. Okay, some kind of reward, blessing, whatever it may be. Being patient and persevering through that. That's what James is after in the context of the persecution that they are enduring.